to the summer, the vacation season. We get it. I want you to go enjoy your vacation and have a great time. And literally this morning, I already knew. Where's your mic? I already knew that there were going to be a lot of people out today, but I'm only trying to figure out has anybody seen Will and Lily? So I was expecting them this morning, but no, they got married yesterday. And Will told me at the end of the wedding, he said, "Pastor John, I just want you to know that we're not going to be at church tomorrow." I said, "Why not?" I literally told him, I said, "Look, Will, if you show up," well, I asked him this first, what my dad joke is, "Did you fill out your permission to miss church next week form?" He said, "No, I did not." I said, "Lord, let me just tell you this. If you show up tomorrow for church after having been married today, I said, I'm going to notify Billy and the safety team and have you removed from the property. Get on your honeymoon." So let's remember them in prayers. They start their life together in marriage. They're just such a beautiful, happy couple, and we're so proud of them. And Miss Donna, you guys, the mom, you just put on a beautiful, there she is, put on a beautiful, she made it. What are you doing here? She worked so hard. They put on just a beautiful wedding. I know their hearts are full. It was so good. But my gift to you guys are so kind to me, really. And sometimes I forget. Y'all were so kind to me over my birthday and things like that. And I don't even know exactly how y'all find those things out. But I appreciate that. But I'm gifting you back today, my wife. And that is a gift. I'm telling you, she has more insight. And she just talked briefly this morning with me what she was going to share. And I just sat back and I said, You are a gift wherever you speak, and you know how I feel about you. So, and she takes way less time than I do. I can't figure that one out. But give my wife and your friend, pastor's wife, sister pastor, that's our little joke, sister pastor, a big warm hand and welcome this morning.
Yeah, if you remember John David and Charlotte, their grandmother's sister, she used to call me Sister Pastor. So anyway, I am not a pastor, but I am obeying my pastor this morning by sharing with you a word I really believe that God has for our church and for you individually. So I always get nervous when I'm up here. I told him, I don't know how in the world you do this every single week, because it is a very heavy position to be in. But I'm just here to share with you this morning. And hopefully when we leave here, we will be encouraged and strengthened, and we will see our God of hope for who he really is. So I've titled this morning, Four Stories, One God of Hope. Four Stories, One God of Hope. Scott, can I have just a little more right here? Thanks. So I am in Psalm 107 this morning, if you will turn there. I am in the ESV version, and we're just going to read through the whole chapter, and then we're going to go back. Four stories, one God of hope. Psalm 107, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty, their souls fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He held them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things." Say amen. "Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons. For they had rebelled against the word of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to his children of man. For he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts in two the bars of iron. Say amen. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquity suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. And let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds in songs of joy. Say amen. Some went down to the sea in ships doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous work to the children of man. Let him extol him in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assemblies of the elders. Say amen. He turns rivers into a desert, springs of water into thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salty waste because of the evil of its inhabitants. He turns a desert into pools of water, a parched land into springs of water. And there he lets the hungry dwell, and they establish a city to live in. They sow fields and plant vineyards and get a fruitful yield. By his blessings they multiply greatly, and he does not let their livestock diminish. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, evil, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and makes them wander in trackless wastes. But he raises up the needy out of affliction and makes their families like flocks. The upright see it and are glad, and all wickedness shuts its mouth. Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. And that last verse is what we're going to do this morning. We are going to be wise and attend to this passage and consider the steadfast love of our Lord. Four stories, one God of hope. What we see here is a pattern in the psalm that we even discussed last time we had the privilege to share with you. And that is, there's a problem, there's a crying out, there's a deliverance, and then there's a praise. And we see this pattern over and over again in the Psalms. And in the beginning, I love how it starts out with praise. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. He is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Open our mouths and say it, for he has redeemed us from trouble. Amen. So what we see in these passages, there's four stories included in this chapter. And they are allegories for spiritual conditions. And allegories, they're basically like a poetic or a song or something that reveals a deeper meaning. So if you'll look with me in verse 4, the first person that we see is the lost person. And it says this, some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted within them. So we see a picture of somebody who's wandering, who's hopeless, who's hungry, and they don't know where they're going, and they're not finding a city or a safe place to dwell in. That was all of us before Christ. Amen? We were lonely, we were wandering, we were lost without Christ. And when he found us, It changed our lives. The next part says, they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. So here it is, the problem, the crying out, and the delivery. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. How many of you know there's only one way? And that's Jesus. He's the way to salvation. And then it says, let us thank God for his wondrous works. So this the desert or the wilderness, when we are lost without Christ, that is one of the allegories that can be made from this scripture. We are all that person until Christ finds us. But the second allegory that relates to this passage is when life feels dry and aimless and lonely. Have you ever been in that spot? Yes, I see heads shaking all around. Have you ever been in a place where you felt lonely, where you felt dry, where you just felt like you needed to belong and you needed safety and you needed purpose? There's no indication that in this case that maybe that person, caused this problem. This is a person who's lost. This is a person outside of the spiritual allegory of Christ finding us. In life, in our Christian walk with Christ, we can go through times where we feel lost and hopeless. But this is the beauty of God, is he sees us in that place, and you are not lost. You cry out to him in your trouble, and he hears you, and he delivers you, and he leads you by that straight way. John 14:6 says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And in Proverbs 3:5-6, it says, in all your ways submit to him, and he will, what? Make your path straight. That's the NIV version, but he will make your path straight. He will direct your path. So trusting in God gives us clear direction, okay? And Jesus is the only path that leads us from wandering to belonging. I love the last line, verse 9. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. After a period of parched, in feeling the heat of that, it describes a desert wasteland. After walking through a season like that, I want to promise you that he satisfies. I want to promise you that God will fill you with good things. Let's move on to verses 10 through 16. We see another person represented here in this allegory. Let's read it. It says, some sat in darkness and in the shadows of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. So this is talking about a place of darkness. It's talking about prison. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons. The picture that we get here is someone that's bound. They're bound up. And it tells us why. They're bound because they had rebelled against the word of God and they had spurned the counsel of the Most High. That is a dangerous place to be. When we know what God's word says, but we rebel against it. When we choose to rebel against sound doctrine or wise counsel, it creates a prison. It keeps us bound. We can also be bound by other things. We can be bound by shame and regret. We can be bound by sin. It's not God's will for us to be bound by anything, right? So the picture that we get here is this was a situation of their own actions. Their actions got them here. This was not someone else's fault. This prisoner was in this, it's an allegory, but this prisoner was bound because they rebelled and because they spurned counsel. So look what it says in verse 13. They cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. even when our suffering and the consequences of our suffering are self-inflicted, God's merciful. And he can break the chains and lead us into light and freedom. And that's what he wants to do. In Romans 8 and 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. He doesn't want us to be bound. Even when it's our fault, even when we did it, even when it's self-inflicted, there's still a way out. It's not a death sentence. You don't have to remain in that prison forever. Just cry out to the Lord. He delivered them from their distress. And listen how. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and he burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. He shatters the door of bronze, and he cuts into the bars of iron. What this tells me is no matter the trouble that I can get myself into and find myself in a prison, when I cry out to God, his power and his strength comes into my situation. He delivers me, and he actually breaks the bonds so they can hold me no more, and he busts open a door of bronze so that I can be free. It's not a passive releasing here. Do we get that picture? He busts and bursts and shatters and cuts in two. Those are strong words that God uses to say, you are free. Do not be bound. Amen. By shame or rebellion or sin or any of those things, don't be a spiritual captive. But even when you have, there is a way out, and that is to call upon him. He will deliver you. He will be faithful to do that. Verse 17, we see another allegory here. Let's read it. Some were fools through their sinful ways. And because of their iniquities, they suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from there. Do we see the pattern? No matter the situation, the lost person, the prisoner who's bound, this person is a rebellious and broken person. A fool is what the Bible calls him. Why is he a fool? Through his sinful ways, and because of his iniquities, he suffered affliction. Proverbs 1 and 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, right? And fools despise wisdom and instruction. So somebody that despises wisdom and instruction, they're going to find themselves in sinful ways. They're going to find themselves trafficking in darkness, and part of that is ignorance because they've not made themselves privy to the word of God. Being a fool, being ignorant means you don't know, but we can't say we don't know. We have to know God's word if we're going to obey it, correct? We have to know what sinful ways are if we're going to avoid them. We have to have the wisdom and the knowledge of God. So, some were fools through their sinful ways. Because of their iniquities, they suffered affliction. This speaks to the fact also that that there a spiritual brokenness, but also a physical brokenness was caused. They loathed food because of this affliction. How many of you have ever been so sick you couldn't eat? That's what this is referring to. They even drew near to the gates of death, it says. There are spiritual and there are emotional elements to brokenness. But again, they cried out in their trouble, and he delivered and healed them from their distress. Listen to this, what I love so much. Because of their own sinful ways, because of their iniquities, they suffered affliction. They become sick in their body. That's how desperately they are in this situation. They cried out to God and he delivered them, but he takes it one step further. He doesn't just deliver them. Read the next verse. He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. He delivered them from their distress, the immediate pain that they were in. But then he healed them, and then he delivered them from destruction, from the destruction of their soul. And it says, let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. And let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds in song. This is saying to us at each turn, when you cry out to God and he delivers, praise him. Don't forget his deeds. Don't forget to remind yourself who he is. Let thanksgiving and sacrifices of praise be on your lips. So we've seen a lost person. We've seen a bound person. We've seen a rebellious and a broken person. And now we're going to meet another person, an overwhelmed person. Let's read this scripture, 23 through 32. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy winds which lifted up the sea. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. So we have a picture now of this group of men who were working aboard a ship. And they were just doing life. They were doing business. Okay, they were just doing their job, and they got caught up in a storm. And it actually says that God sent the storm. They mounted, the waves mounted up to the heavens, and they went down to the depths. And this is what happened. It doesn't say these men lacked courage. It just says their courage melted away in their evil plight. They were not without courage. It just melted when they focused on the height and the depth of these waves, and says that they staggered around like drunken men. And that reminds us, when we get in situations with the cares of this world and in the storms of life, it is disorienting. It is creating a feeling of loss of even spiritual and physical equilibrium. Have you ever been in a storm where you lay awake at night and you're back and forth and you're tossing and you're turning and your mind is going? You're trying to solve this from this angle and that angle. That creates for a tired mind. And the word says that they were at their wits' end. So it's not that they weren't courageous, but this storm took its toll on them. And again, here's the turning point. In verse 28, they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. We see another example of this in Matthew. I think it's chapter 14. Is that right? Where we see Peter, even when he falters in the storm, God's hand is strong to save him. And in Mark 4, Jesus rebukes the storm and he says, peace, be still to that storm. Jesus has authority over nature and the storms of life as well. And we need to see him speak that in our situation sometime by faith. Peace, be still. In life's greatest anxiety, God brings peace and calm. Is promised to us in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. It says, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Not outside of Christ Jesus, but in Christ Jesus. And when we try to guard our own hearts and our minds and work it out and come up with a plan and a scenario, it's not what guards our hearts and minds. Because sometimes guarding our heart and mind is having faith to say, I don't know how he's going to calm the storm, and I don't know when, but my faith rises up to say he will, because he is who he says he is. In this situation, he immediately made the storm to be still, and the waves were quieted. Then they were glad when the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. This desired haven reminded me of, it's a literal destination for these sailors, of course, but a spiritual metaphor is that peace and that safety and that security. And that desired haven, we all have that. We all have that place that we want to feel safe and secure and at peace. And this is the outcome of trusting in God no matter the circumstance. The haven is where God guides us when we cry out to Him, and it's a place of our peace and of our purpose. These sailors reached this desired haven because that's where they were headed. And they made it because God intervened, He quieted the storm, and they were able to finish what they had begun. If you're in the middle of a storm this morning as well, you will finish what you have begun. God will finish the work in you that He has begun. The last part of this verse says, let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of man. Let Him extol in the congregation of the people and praise Him in the assemblies of the elder. Do you understand, too, that if we make this a life application to our circumstance, we should thank the Lord for His steadfast love in the congregation of people publicly. Praise Him. Give thanks. Say, hey, I just want you to know what God's brought me through. I just want you to know what I just came through, where I saw God quiet the storm in my life. It gives us faith. It strengthens our faith in one another. I mean, in God, when we share with one another. Amen? How many of you have ever been encouraged by someone's testimony? Yes. When you think, oh, they have no idea how much I needed to hear that today because I'm going through something and I might not even want to share it. But that peace that you see on them and that resolution that has come, you say, oh, God, that's who you are. And I know it's coming for me as well. It gives us great faith to share with one another. So praise Him to one another. Talk about His wondrous works to one another. Give Him glory to each other. Let Him get all the praise. And then I love this, you know, I love the whole picture of these sailors were just doing life. And they were just busy. They were just businessmen. And it could be ministry. It could be whatever you're busy in your life doing. And a storm whips up out of nowhere. That's going to happen. And we can't let it throw us off course. We have to come to that place of maturity where we quickly turn and cry out for help. Instead of trying to fix it or manipulate it or all of the thing or get our own justice from the situation. I'm going to talk about justice in a minute because He does in these next verses. But the beautiful thing about it is He's in control. Trust Him when your courage melts away. Trust Him when you are disoriented. Trust Him when your mind is tired. You will get to that desired haven. So look at verse 33. He turns rivers into a desert, springs of water into thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salty waste because of the evil of its inhabitants. This speaks to His justice. He is a just God. Verse 35, He turns a desert into pools of water, a parched land into springs. And there He lets the hungry dwell, and they establish a city to live in. They sow fields and plant vineyards and get a fruitful yield. By His blessings, they multiply greatly, and He does not let their livestock diminish. This speaks of His mercy and His provision. He is a just God, but He is also merciful. Amen? Aren't you glad for that? Then if we break down verse 39, we see when they are diminished and brought low through oppression, evil, and sorrow, He pours contempt on princes. This speaks about that God can humble the proud. God can and will humble the proud. Amen? But then we see, it says, He pours contempt on princes and makes them wander in trackless ways, but He raises up the needy out of affliction and makes their families like flocks. The upright see it and are glad, and all wickedness shuts its mouth. Speaking God can humble the proud. And then the last two verses, God defends the oppressed. That's who he is. And then the last verse says, whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. If we are wise, we will understand these four allegories that we just read about. And I want to say, if you're that person who feels wandering and hopeless and lost, there's only one place to be found, and it's in Christ Jesus. There's only one place that your identity rests. There's only one place, and that's in Christ Jesus. If circumstances have you wandering and hopeless, cry out to God, and he will deliver. And there is blessing, and he fills the hungry, and you will be satisfied. If you are bound because you did it, and I'm guilty, and I rebelled, and I spurned counsel, and now look what's happened. Please know that that is not the end. That's not where the story ends. That's not where your story ends. Your story ends with freedom, because all you have to do is cry out to God, and you will be free. And it's not a chain that's going to call you back. It's broken. It's shattered. It's gone. Because that's the God he is. Rebellion and broken. Maybe you have not made it. You've been a fool, and you've not made God's word a priority in your life. And you don't know the word, so you have fallen into sin. And you did know the word, and you rebelled because you were foolish. Whatever the circumstances, that creates brokenness that this scripture talks about. But the beautiful part to that is he does what he says he's going to do. He delivers, he heals, and he destroys so that it doesn't have to hold you anymore. And then our last allegory, if you're overwhelmed by your circumstances in life, a storm that has come up unexpected, there is a desired haven that you can arrive to. We can see how God moves in this scripture. He moved like this. He still moves like this. We cry out to him. Bring your tired mind to him. Bring your disoriented, I don't know where to go next. I don't know how to solve this problem. Bring it to him. Lay it at his feet. And let him show you and direct your path to that desired haven. It's his plan for you. It's his purpose. You know, we don't have, I told Walker this recently, you don't have to find your purpose when you go to college and all of this. It's already been decided for you. You're just walking it out. You're discovering it. You're discovering the purpose that God has already put inside of you when you were in the womb. God has those plans for us. And no matter what comes against that, we need to remember who we belong to and that his plan, his timing, all of those things are not ours. But we firmly put our hand in his and we trust him. We trust him. John, will you come? Just want to encourage you this morning. No matter where you find yourself, the message is the same. If it's your fault, if it's not, if you're just lost, if you're in a storm, it doesn't matter. The circumstance is what it is, but you call out to God. You depend on him. He delivers. And then let praise be on your lips. Never go through a circumstance without then praising him, without then thanking him for the answer, thanking him for the deliverance. Amen.
Yeah, that crying out to the Lord is the proper response no matter where you're at. That's the way out, crying out to the Lord. And if we're truthful with ourselves, if we're vulnerable in front of each other, the truth is we've probably all been in each one of those situations. I know there was a time in my life when I was lost. I know there was a time in my life when I was wandering. I know that there was a time in my life when I was rebellious. I know there was a time in my life when I was foolish. And I also know of many times in my life when storms came along, and I'm like, where in the world did that come from? I didn't sow for that. You've ever had a storm in your life that you didn't sow for? Some of the storms in my life, I did sow for. And that's what I got. But I really think it speaks to more that if we look at it as just those people or that person, that could separate us or separate responses. And the responses is always the same for each one of those. Crying out to God is always a proper response. I cannot think of a situation in my life where if I cried out to the Lord, they'd be like, oh, shouldn't have done that. No. Every time crying out to the Lord, it's in order. And I also saw this as you taught this, Christine, because I believe that we're a room full of believers here this morning. I mean, why would we be here if we didn't believe in God? But it doesn't mean that all of our family is believing in God. And I sense pain in the room for those of us who've been believing for a family member, and you know, not judging them, but by the fruit of their life, they've not given their life to Christ. Is anybody in this room in that situation right there? And I believe that's what your storm is right now. You didn't ask for that. You want your kids to know the Lord. You want your family members to know the Lord. You want your parents. Some of you, you want your parents to know the Lord. Your uncles, your aunts, your cousins. You want people to know the Lord. You want them to find what you found. And some of them are lost. And some of them are away from the Lord. And they're in a desert when God has a fruitful place for them, and they don't see it. And I believe it's really easy to get discouraged when you're believing for someone else and you see no sign. I'm talking about no sign. That you see what could be, but instead of being able to materialize that, all you see is the desert. All you see is the dust. It's like your mouth is full of dust and you're chewing on gravel. Have you ever gone through a dusty place and felt the grit in your mouth? And the wind is down in your truck? You come out of something and you just see dust all in your truck. I should have rolled the windows up. You taste it in your mouth. You could just crunch the dust in your mouth. And that's, as an allegory, that's how we are sometimes when we're believing for our lost loved ones. I want you to be encouraged this morning that we can cry out to the Lord, not just for us, but for them too. And for us as we watch the process fold out and believe in Him and believe in God and not let the lie of the enemy discourage us. So this morning, I believe it'd be proper for us to just cry out to the Lord, each individually, as Dale plays, for just take a few moments and say, God, pray with me. I'm not going to be discouraged. I'm not going to stay in discouragement. I'm going to cry out to you. My maturity is how quickly I cry out to you.